So I don't have a gavel, so consider one rap of the gavel to my head and we'll call to order the Clark. Afternoon. I hear beeping. 9 July 2020 at 2:00. All right, if everybody wants to stand or not, but we're gonna go ahead and do the Pledge of Allegiance because Sam did a nifty flag slide for us. So we're gonna go ahead and we'll do the pledge. So if everybody would stand, maybe.
Pay attention like Marines.
Yeah, there you go. All right, everybody ready? I pledge allegiance,
to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We have anybody that would like to do the invocation? Do we have on here that can do that?
I will.
Who's I will? Shannon? There you go. Woohoo! Okay.
Great. Father God, thank you for this time, and we pray that it's a productive time, and we ask your will to be done, and for things to be done in order and properly. I invite you into this meeting. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Shannon. All right, everybody seated, and Bruce, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I'm just kind of figuring out what's going on here. I'm also live up on video, too. Madam Chair, what would you like me to do at this point?
If you want to try to do some roll call. I don't know if you can see who's on or not.
Well, what I can do is I can just go ahead and run through the names. I'm going to be kind of pausing it for just a moment as I'm going through just to make sure that we have everybody that is here.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to do the roll call of our people who are here. So I'm going to start with the 14-8. I have Morris Giesler and Steve Sledger. Either one of you two on board. American Legion Post 14, Dixie Hotelling or Carla Bean?
I know Steve Sledgers was on earlier, and so I think maybe he has his phone muted.
Okay, that's fine. For American Legion Post 14, Dixie Hotelling or Carla Bean?
And Dixie is excused.
American Legion Post 44, Darren Wirtz or John Rose? American Legion Post 168, Bob Nichols. American Legion Post 176, Mike Gibson or Les Schweiber? I know Mike here as he joined us. American Veterans Chapter Post number 6, John Lovejoy or Dennis Pratt? I don't think I heard from either one of those. DAV Chapter 4 has no representation. Korea War Veterans Association 321, Earl Edwards. Marine Corps League 826, Steve Sledgers is here. John Stoffel, are you here? VFW Post 4278, I see Shannon Roberts is here.
Yes.
VFW Post 7824, Board Secretary Bruce Moss is here. Michael Harding. VFW Post 12028, David Daly, Vice Chair, are you here?
Here.
Doyle Fleming. Vietnam Veterans 512, Greg Whitsitt or Tom Milkey. And down to our members at large, Board Chair Kelly Jones.
Here.
John Lawson. Brian McGillis. Kevin, are you? You're here, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin's here. Kevin Lawson's here.
Okay, Brian McGillis. Mike Langsdorf. Jim Jensen.
President
Plaus. Oh, Jim Jensen's present. Okay, Tiffany Plaus, Clark County Representative Samantha Whitley.
Tiffany Plaus is here too.
I'm here.
Okay. And also, I have Rebecca Royce also is somewhere back in the background. And then for our guests that are with us today, I know we have Judy Russell that's here from the Assist Center.
Right.
Is there anybody else in our group who is here? Would you please state your name for the records so that we can get you on?
Sharon Tyre from the Clark County Veterans Assistance Center.
All right. Anybody else?
Alyssa Page from Clark County Community Services Finance Unit.
Anybody else, please?
This is Daniel Leggett, CDSR, Homeland Security Department in Washington.
Okay. Last call for anybody and our visitors who have joined us today for this webinar. Hearing none, that is all we have for today's meeting, Madam Chair.
All right, thanks, Bruce. All right, next on the agenda, did everybody go back and read over the February minutes? If so, then I get a motion to approve if there are no changes, additions, deletions, corrections.
Motion to approve, Steve Slagers.
Second?
Seconded by Bruce Moss.
All right, February meetings approved as written. All right, next on the agenda, member and county updates. So is there anybody on here who has any kind of updates they wish to share with the group? Could be anything.
Madam Chair, if I can just take a moment, I'll be brief on this. During our downtime, I did manage to send some information on to Samantha with the staff to let them know what was going on, and in terms of there was medical needs for veterans within our community and certain other businesses that were not open or were open, just kind of putting that down. I will say that our VSOs are slowly getting their memberships back into their organizations, but the members themselves are just taking their time to get back in, and everybody's doing the social distance thing at this point. So that was the only kind of recap I wanted to do from the last 4 months.
Okay, thanks, Bruce. Yeah.
I just wanted to report that Post 4278 has been holding their coffees on Wednesday morning via Zoom, and they've been going really well. And we're happy to still be in touch with most all of our members, not everyone, but most all of them. We didn't want them to feel isolated, so it's worked out really well so far. That's all I have.
That's awesome, Shannon. It's good to hear. Anybody else?
So this is Steve from 48 and Marine Corps League, but the 48 is doing their coffee and donuts Thursday mornings, 7 to 9. Wear a mask, they take your temperature, you answer a bunch of questions and have some coffee. So it's going fairly well. It's been going on for the past month of Thursdays, so it's a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Madam Chair, this is Tiffany from WorkSource. I just wanted to update everybody. I don't know if you guys have seen the news or not, but there's a lot going on with unemployment and the Employment Security Department. My mission has been shifted a little bit. I have been helping with the unemployment, and Daniel Leggett, who's on the call as well, is covering down for Clark County. So if you do run into a veteran that is needing assistance with finding work or has lost work recently, please feel free to reach out to myself or Daniel, and we are more than happy to assist them with the new climate that's going on around employment.
Could you give your name again, please?
Tiffany Prowse.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel, can you hear me? Maybe. So Tiffany, can we just make sure we get Daniel's information as well to Sam?
Yes, absolutely. I can send that information. And then also, I'm still a good contact where I can be that middle person to get the information to Daniel as well. So we are still looking to help other veterans out in the community. And our office, our actual brick and mortar office, is still closed. So we're all teleworking. But we've been learning lots of new tricks and just like this meeting and helping connect employers and veterans with good employment opportunities.
Awesome. Thank you, Tiffany, for all that you guys do and continue to do. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Anybody else? No? Everybody's quiet. Do we know if we've had, like throughout the post, any veterans who have had COVID? Or any that we know that might need some assistance or anything of that nature?
Madam Chair, Bruce Moss here. I just wanted to do a quick update. We did have a veteran in our community that did contract the virus and required hospitalization. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to say that that veteran had passed away about a few months ago. I'm not going to give out the names or anything like that, but yes, I know of only one veteran in our community that has passed away. I can also state, too, that I've emailed Sam some information from VA Portland about the precautions that they have been taking to make sure that COVID-19 is not brought into their facility unless they're given the heads up. And a lot of the VA employees have also been going through a lot of COVID-19 testing just to make sure they're fine and safe. And if there's veterans that needs a COVID test before they come down to do an appointment that they have with the VA, the VA Portland will let them know ahead of time of what's been going on. The other thing I also might want to add too is that VA Hospital Portland and as well as Vancouver campus have told a lot of the veterans not to really come for appointments right now until they can get back to a solid schedule. But for vets who do need to get in to see a medical or a mental health professional, they've been asked to be seen at one of the four, well, actually one of the three CBOC sites over in Portland would be Fairview, West Lynn, and Hillsboro, and then also to some extent here in Vancouver. So at least the VA is able to meet with these people on an appointment basis only to make sure that things are being covered at the same time for them. So that's all that I've heard from our VA out in the Portland community.
Well, thanks, Bruce. I guess my biggest concern would be mental health appointments. Just seeing some issues in some private Facebook groups with women veterans and some other groups. Veterans, especially young veterans, should not be isolated, as we know. And this has been tough during this time to have to isolate and socially distance from family and friends and what have you. So there's been a lot of near misses in these Facebook groups. It's disheartening. It's unfortunate. And with everything being closed and some of the appointments and things and it's been hard to watch people struggle. So I hope everybody here today has done some self-care and still doing self-care. I know I have. My yard looks fantastic because that's my self-care. And I ride like crazy on my Peloton bike that goes nowhere. So I put a lot of miles in, but it's been tough. So, you know, let's continue to reach out to those that we know, engage with them in these Facebook groups, if you're a member of these groups, and, you know, just make sure we keep an eye on all of our veterans because we want to keep them on this earth with us instead of them doing other things. So just want to throw that out there. Hopefully everybody here is taking care of themselves as well. Any other member updates before we go to the county updates? No? All right, county updates.
Okay, you guys probably saw in the paper this morning that we are still in phase two. We submitted our phase three application on Friday, June 26th, but the number of positive cases is going up. And so on July 2nd, the governor halted all counties from moving into new phases for at least 2 weeks. And even after we do move into phase three, we'll still be telecommuting and all staff that go into the office do have to wear masks. The guidance that I have right now is that all of our meetings through the end of the year will be online. I've set all of those up as far as the WebEx invite. CBT reached out to me when they got our meeting agenda and information. And they said, do you want us to record the meeting? And I said, Let's not do this very first one, but I'll talk to the board and find out if you want to have all of our future meetings, monthly meetings, recorded and aired on CBTV. That's what they're doing right now with the council hearings. So it, they just broadcast actually to the TV exactly what you're seeing now if you're logged in through the WebEx. So is that something that we would like to continue doing?
Yeah, Bruce here. I think that would be something that we could end up doing. If there are people who are not comfortable with doing doing video of themselves, then, you know, that's understandable. But yeah, we need to get the word out to our veterans because some of them may not know what's going on, and CBTV is really their only link to finding out, you know, what's going on out in the community, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think definitely we need to do the TV. Get the Shannon.
Yeah, I agree. We need to take a vote, Sam? Is that what you need?
No, I don't think so. I'll just tell them, starting with our August meeting, we will do it through CBTV. And they were ready to do this meeting, but I didn't know how it was going to go exactly. So we wanted to have our one practice meeting that wasn't aired. And I'll tell them that we'll be ready to have all of our future monthly meetings aired.
Okay, great.
This is Rebecca. I think Greg might have wanted to make a comment, but he was having technical issues. Greg, if you would like me to unmute you, shake your head.
Yeah, okay, so I'm not controlling that. You are. Okay. I just didn't know what I'm doing.
You should be able to turn your Moo on and off on your end, but if you just raise your hand, I'll keep an eye on you and make sure you get unmuted.
Okay.
Is that all I wanted to say? I love Greg. All right.
So we just got a email update from the county manager today, and that's why I added the county budget updates. I knew that our property taxes had been okay. I had already gotten the heads up from finance that the Veterans Assistance Fund has not been really impacted too much by the downturn in the economy. But as far as the overall county budget, the manager told us that the sales tax revenue is coming in a little better than anticipated, but it's still showing reduction. It was 3% reduction in April, 16% reduction in May, and 8% reduction in June. So the county is anticipating approximately $6 million reduction in expenditures so that they don't overspend based on the revenues going down. And that's for 2020. And then for 2021, she said that the general fund has a structural deficit, which means that if the further out you look over time, it's a bigger, larger and larger projected fund deficit. So for 2021 right now, the deficit is projected at $1.8 million, but if you look all the way out to 2024, it's projected at negative $20 million. So obviously they're going to be making adjustments and seeing how the budget will look going forward. But I'm still, even with all of that, I'm still feeling like the property taxes and the Veterans Fund will be relatively limited impact. I don't know if anybody has any questions on that, but we'll see the Veterans Fund report. I sent that out to everybody so you can see where we were at on the revenue.
Yes, thanks, Sam. Yeah, I just noticed that our houses devalued again. I mean, they were on the up and up, and then all of a sudden it just kind of took a tank this year. So, but yeah, hopefully we don't have any issues. I mean, I think we have sufficient money now to do what we need to do. Is that all you have before we move on, or anything else? Anybody have any questions for Sam on any of that?
No.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay. Mike Gibson, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Did we have any appeals that we need to talk about?
No appeals.
Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and answer for Dixie, and we had no policies and procedures. So, all right, Sam, you're up again.
Well, actually, Judy was going to make a policies and procedure request. She gave me the heads up this afternoon. We could do it now, or we could do it during the Veterans Assistance Center update.
Whichever. However she wants.
Are you there, Judy?
It's kind of up to you. Yes, I'm here. So let me just give you a little bit of update on what the center's doing. We are working every day. We are working 9 to 1. There are 3 staff and 1 volunteer that works every day. We do not let anyone into the building. If they have paperwork, we ask them to fax it or email it. Unless they absolutely have no other way to give it to us, then they can come to the door. We will make copies for them and then accept their paperwork for what they need. We also do a lot of stuff over the phone and have them email us information. We've been getting letters, like right now, because of the moratorium on the rent, there is no eviction notice. But what we've done is gotten the landlords to say that in normal times, this would be cause for eviction. So we have a letter from them saying that if the moratorium wasn't in effect, this person would be evicted. And that's the way that we've been able to continue to help with rent. We do have 2 service officers from the VVA who are working every day from 8:30 to 3:30 doing claims over the phone. Again, nobody comes into the building. They're upstairs. They do claims over the phone. They return phone calls to people about their claims, and then they fax or email paperwork. So that's kind of where we are as far as our operating status. There's many days that we stay later than 1 o'clock because the load requires it. But as far as being open, it's 9 to 1. And we will adjust those hours as we need to as we get busier. We are starting to see more veterans requesting rent and not wanting to get 2 or 3 or 4 months behind when this whole thing is over. We have had 5 veteran deaths just in the past week. We have provided burial assistance for those 5 veterans. We do have a request from the board. I'm going to let Sharon talk to you about that because she's been there and I've been in the woods for 5 days. So, Sharon, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Good afternoon to everyone. We were going to ask a request from the board a possible temporary policy change for like the next 3 to 6 months. Due to the COVID-19, you know, we've had a lot of people requesting rental assistance because they did not their school money or because they didn't get their unemployment. And there is a form that the apartments is sending out. It's a COVID-19 form that tells them that they notify them that they are late with their rent. Normal circumstances, they would be evicted, but we are going to be asking if the temporary policy change could be maybe possibly doing 2 months of rental assistance just for, the next 3 to 6 months, if possible. Also, I wanted to let the board know that we did get a $25,000 grant from Southwest Washington Foundation for rental purposes only. So up to now, we've been doing 1 month from that fund and another month if they're 2 months behind with this grant. This grant's going to run out pretty darn quick, especially when the moratorium runs out at the end of this month. So we're asking the board for 2 months rental assistance through the end of the year.
And that is if they're already 2 months behind, or we don't want to anticipate them being.
No, they're already 2 months behind.
Okay. Thank you.
So you said that's if they're already 2 months behind, right? So we
Correct.
Catch them up?
Correct.
Correct.
And then,
I guess, on the average, what is the amount of monthly rent on the average?
What was that?
What is the average amount of monthly rent?
It really differs depending on where they live. Sometimes it's $500. Sometimes it's $1,000. Sometimes it's $1,700. I mean, it just really depends on the size of the family and how big of a house or apartment they have.
Okay. And do you see many people taking advantage of that?
No, actually, I've even come up with a list of how many we've assisted with rent since April.
Uh-huh.
Now, not every single one of these is a COVID thing. Some of them was first month's rent. Some of it was security deposit. But just for the COVID, we had 10 veterans that we've assisted with 1 month's rent. And then we've assisted them out of that other fund with the second month that they were behind. So that's 10 veterans that we've assisted for that specific purpose.
I guess my question is, if we assist them with 1 month and they know that we could possibly do it again for a second month, would they take advantage of that first month and not pay the second month, knowing that we could do that?
No, ma'am. We haven't been telling anybody anything like that.
Okay.
No. They qualify for rental assistance with the vet fund because they haven't used it in the last 24 months.
Okay.
And they qualify, we assist them. And we haven't, out of vet fund, we're not doing 2 months. We've only done the 1 month. And with that other extra $25,000 we got from Southwest Washington, we helped them with that.
Okay.
So
Thank
the
you.
Vet fund hasn't paid 2 months worth of rent for anybody.
Okay.
At this point. But that's what we're asking, because we know that $25,000 is going to go away pretty quick, especially starting at the end of the month.
Okay. Just trying to clarify the thing there. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
So, Sharon, I sent you and Judy an email that the policies say that somebody has to be in imminent danger of eviction. I said, during the moratorium, nobody is in imminent danger, and it is a chance. I'm hoping that maybe the moratorium will be extended. So what I would suggest, as a part of the conversation, we should start the policy at the end of the moratorium. So if it gets extended, we wouldn't start the policy until the moratorium expired. And then we would, for the 6 months following that, give up to 3 months rent assistance for people who are in arrears, or 4 months, I don't even know, 3 or 4 months to catch people up. But if the moratorium gets extended, I don't think we should start paying people's rent now. And because I want to see what the governor does, whether he extends it or whether he requires landlords to work things out. I don't know what might happen, but as far as paying people's rent right now when there's a moratorium, we don't really know who needs the rent or who will be able to catch it up.
Good point.
I'm totally for the waiting until the moratorium is extended for the 2 months thing. I agree with that completely. I know that Oregon has already extended it through the end of September. And generally, Washington and Oregon have been reciprocal with what they've been doing. So I'm hoping that he will, but I'm unsure when that will happen.
And the other thing is, the longer that the moratorium is extended, the more people, more help they're going to need at the end. Because if they're not able to pay their rent now or last month, and then next month they don't have to pay it, and then next month they don't have to pay it, well, then they need 4 months of back rent or whatever, depending on their situation. So I don't know that I would limit it to only 2 months.
Samantha, can I jump in for a sec? I think what I'm hearing you say is that no one is in imminent danger because of the moratorium, therefore we should not be doing rental assistance during the moratorium. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Based on what our policies say, that they do need to be in imminent danger. That's I suggested that nobody could be in imminent danger right now.
Okay. I agree philosophically. The moment the moratorium on kicking folks out expires, then we could have a bunch of people who are immediately evicted. I also think there's the issue of funds management that many of these folks might have written into their contract, increasing or compounding late fees that we will then be supporting them for because we weren't helping them throughout this process. Just something to think about.
Yeah, that's certainly relevant considerations. And I'll be interested to see if the governor makes any more orders about what late fees can or can't be charged, or if he does any more assistance for rentals. I don't know what he's done to date, and I don't know what he might be planning to do.
So Sam, it's Judy. Yeah. Let me make sure that I perfectly understand you. So what you're saying is that even with a letter saying that they would be evicted in normal times, that we should not be helping them with their rent?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Because then they're really going to be behind.
Right. That's why I'm also suggesting that we provide more than 1 month's rent or 2 months' rent. And I also, my coworker told me that the moratorium, the governor's eviction moratorium also does prevent late fees, charging of late fees.
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. So then, all right.
Well, we've assisted, I can tell you, we've assisted 10 people since April under the premise of they would be evicted if they, in normal circumstances. So what does that mean for
right.
us?
That's fine. That's totally fine. We're not going to pull that money back or anything. That's totally understandable.
So do you want us to stop paying rent from here on out until the eviction moratorium is over?
You could still pay first month or security deposit, but based on our current policies, there's no eviction prevention right now.
Okay.
So maybe instead of trying to change the policy that we have, we need to add something, because this is happening in some of the other nonprofits that I'm in. We're having to almost like add another thing in there for pandemics and catastrophic events or whatever to kind of cover these types of things. Because you're right, they're not in imminent danger of being put out on the street. They're not, we don't have to worry about that because they can't evict them. Even though they have a letter saying in normal circumstances, yes, they would, but that's a bit of a catch-22. But would it be more prudent to put some sort of policy in place that covers specific events such as this, that gives us just a little bit more latitude to work within, waiting for the governor to extend this or change this or whatever? I mean, what do you think about something like that?
It would be just a feel good thing from the renter. If we wait and delay paying the rent until afterwards, we will catch them up. So it's not like they're going to be evicted at the end, because as far as what I'm hearing from Sam, we would be able to catch them up there in arrears. Correct, Sam?
That's up to the board, but that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So that's if we change the policy.
They're panicking because they can't pay this month's rent.
A lot of them are panicking, and a lot of them are having panic attacks, and they're also, it's affecting their mental health because they can't pay their rent. So that was the reason that we got the letters and went ahead and paid the 10 people, because those were 10 people who were having mental health issues because, oh my God, I'm going to get kicked out, because a lot of them don't realize that, hey, the landlord can't kick them out. Or maybe they're afraid the landlord's going to retaliate. And I know that's not supposed to happen, but it does.
Yeah, it very much is happening, just from the conversations I've had with the veterans we've assisted.
And either way, we're considering what we would have to amend the rules, whether we amend them to pay back 6 months in arrears or whether we amend it to be able to pay during a pandemic. There's
right.
an amendment upcoming.
Right. That's what we're asking for, is a temporary change to the policies.
I couldn't hear what that. Who was talking?
This is Shannon.
Okay. What did you just say?
Do we need to vote? Or what is it that you're looking for?
Well, I guess my question is do we want to do something temporary? Or do we want to try to put something in there that gives us the latitude during events just such as this? Because right now, I mean, the problem right now is that it says they're in imminent danger, and they're not because of the moratorium.
Right.
So,
right.
But we don't want to change that necessarily unless we add something that says, unless these type of events are going on or whatever, and just make it a permanent change instead of a temporary change that allows us to still operate within the normal policies and procedures of how many months we can help them.
Right.
I mean, what's the consensus on what we're looking at? Anybody else want to weigh in?
We're going to be spending the money one way or the other, and if we can spend it and take care of somebody's mental health and keep them calm and stable, I'm okay for making that change now, because the money, like I said, is going to leave the fund one way or the other, either now or later.
And that's true. And I guess part of my concern is, I mean, you know, how long are we going to have to live with COVID?
Right.
I mean, this could be longer than another 6 months. And are we going to still have moratoriums in place? That's why I'm wondering if we just shouldn't put, you know, something in there that covers these types of major events.
Perhaps the threshold is a national or state declaration of emergency. That's
yeah,
a pretty high
like
threshold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like us to draft something, Kelly? Would you like Sharon and I to draft something in conjunction with Sam and present it to you guys next month?
Yeah. I mean, I think the consensus here for those of us that have weighed in is we want to help veterans. And we don't want anybody's
right.
mental health to suffer. And just because we have the word imminent in there, even though it's not because of the moratorium, I mean, you know, I don't want to stop payments and then, you know, promise them, well, we're going to, as soon as this moratorium ends, then we'll catch you up, because that still affects their mental health, because some of them don't understand.
Right.
And, you know, some of them quite honestly are suspicious of government and everything else. And regardless of,
yep.
you know, what we want to think, we know we're upstanding people, but you know, that's for their peace of mind. So, you know, I hate that we have to tell somebody right now, well, you're not in imminent danger, so, you know, we'll just wait and write out this moratorium. That still puts stress on them. So I guess I'm trying to figure out if this is something, I don't want to wait another month to do this.
Right.
The way it reads now, all of a sudden we have to stop helping them and wait for a moratorium to expire and another one get put in place. Let's just put something in there that covers, like, just like Jim said, I think what he said read pretty well. And if that flies and it gives us the latitude to help while the governor is going back and forth about, you know, what he's going to extend, what he's not going to extend, I think that makes more sense than anything that we do on a temporary basis. And I say we go ahead and get it drafted up or agree to wording here, there, or whatever, and then maybe we can work it over email for an approval or something. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, sure. I really like that during a state or federally declared emergency. But what would... Then what are we looking at? And then all the categories are wide open to our discretion during state or federally declared emergency? Are we going to do up to 4 months, up to 6 months, up to 12 months? How we need some kind of parameter, or how do you want that to look as far as what is allowable during the emergency.
This is Tiffany, and just like two cents that I'm thinking about too is kind of combining everything that you guys are saying and looking further outside the box at a macro level, because the banks are still requiring that house payments are still being paid, and these rental properties, they still have to make those bills. They're not getting that same thing that the renters are getting, where they don't have to pay that bill. So even if it was we do 2 months now with an option of being able to extend that in the future, I think that may be able to help on a instant base where we're able to help those that are 2 months behind and stressed out and the mental health and what's going on. But because of the pandemic, because of everything else that's going on, we don't know how long this is going to last. Maybe somehow incorporating that it could be extended due to how long the pandemic or the national emergency or whatever is continued to write in there. Does that make sense? Kind of looking a little more further out.
Yeah. Basically what we were hoping for was just to be able to help them at this point with more than 1 month if they're that far behind. We didn't really look out to the future because, again, you know, the landlord still has to pay his bills, and so he's putting pressure on our veterans, and it's stressing them because they're 2 months behind now. And so that was why one of the reasons that we went after the grant with the Southwest Washington Foundation was to be able to maybe pay a month's rent from the fund and a month's rent from that fund, but that fund is going to diminish in a hurry. So even if we had it to the point where we could pay 2 months or 3 months over a 48-month period, then we can always reevaluate it at a later date. But I think right now our goal was to get the pressure off the veterans.
I hadn't thought about the landlord needing to pay his bills too. That's true. If we waited six months to pay, then that would really put them in a bind.
Right, because it may not be an eviction anymore. It may be that the landlord now has to sell that property because it's foreclosed, because they're not getting the same protections as renters are getting.
Right.
Right.
And I can tell you from talking to the clients, this is Sharon, by the way, that some of them are not, they're following that they are not, but they're being harassed by their landlords because they're stressed out as well. So they're putting it onto the person that's living in the house. And I've heard that from more than just one of our clients. And you know, we can only do what we can do right now because of the funding. That's why we're asking you guys.
So let me just ask you guys this. Jim just sent a lengthy chat. Bless you, Jim. Okay, let me read that. During a state or federal declaration of emergency, limitations on rental assistance due to accommodations made by governmental bodies to restrict evictions will not interfere with providing rental assistance to those veterans who otherwise would meet criteria. That's fine, but that doesn't address the 2 months, 3 months, 4 months.
Time frame.
Yeah, I like that, Jim. I'm also thinking if we pay someone's rent for 2 months now, and then the moratorium is extended until September, they can't pay their September rent, and they can't come back to the fund, then they're still evicted when the moratorium expires later. Like, because we have that 24-month provision too, I would like to not have that in there, or have that be part of the rental policies that are waived, because I think that will mess a lot of people up. If we help them now and then the pandemic goes on, they don't get their jobs back, then we can't help them again the way we have it set up now.
Well, but then you have to weigh, I mean, we can't pay the rent forever, can we? I mean, there has to be
We can put a limit on it.
Pardon?
We can put a limit on the number of months that we are able to pay.
Yeah, that's what I was. That's what I was wondering about.
The reason I broke out that one piece and the other is I think they're both important discussions, but I think they may be two separate discussions. One, do we want to change our rules such that when there's an emergency, imminent danger of eviction doesn't interfere with being able to keep people housed? I think the mental health case is a very strong case. I think I have had a friend that killed himself recently, and I think risk of losing housing, whether we know that they're safe because we're going to back them up in 4 months or whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean they know they're safe. And so pulling that requirement away right now so that they're not restricted by the governor trying to help them out. And then also, and I agree with this as well, we should extend what we're providing during this time of crisis.
I agree with you.
I agree, too.
I agree with that one.
Yeah, so do I. So what we need now is Judy. I lost Judy on there somewhere.
Yes.
Judy, Sharon, whatever
yes.
you guys want to give a crack at how you want it to read so that we can basically deal with both issues. The primary issue and the most important issue right now is the time frame. So,
right.
Or
well,
do we want to try to approve something right now to, I mean, what do you want to do?
Can we approve anything right now, or do we have to go before the county commissioners to get approval to do this?
It will have to go before the county council.
But the board has to say, you know, we have to make the recommendation. So, I think, you know, the board is supportive of whatever we need to do to, you know, to cover both of these issues. Right now, it's okay, what today can we do to send forward to get it in place soon enough to do that?
Right. So I captured Tim's proposal, and I think that will allow us to provide rental assistance now. And then like you just mentioned, Kelly, the question before the board is how many months will be the maximum amount that we'd like to provide rent for people who are affected by COVID?
Well, we just hit 4 months. So things started closing down in March. So maybe they were able to pay April's rent, May, June, July, and August is coming up.
Well, and as right now, the moratorium ends the end of this month unless the governor changes the dates.
So I would like to propose 6 months. 6 months max.
Up to 6 months?
Yes.
So the people that have requested assistance so far, are they out of the job or are they retired? What were the reasons?
Most of them have lost their jobs because of COVID.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them have not received any unemployment or even their stimulus.
Okay.
There's a lot of people. There's hundreds of thousands of people that haven't gotten any money from the government at all.
Yeah, I was
and
just wondering.
So those are the people.
The 10 cases that you mentioned.
Well, and also I would like to point out that the extra $600 a month that people are receiving is supposed to end this month as well.
Yeah.
So the right. people that have been getting that and have been able to pay their rent come August 1st, unless the government amends that, they're not going to have that extra $600 to pay their rent. So I just wanted to point that out.
That's true.
So if we help them now, like say they're 2 months behind and we help them now, and we put a 6 month limit on, that would mean that down the road, any money that they might get, they could help themselves, but we would put a complete 6 month limit on within our time frame. and our time frame is 24 months. So that would allow us to assist them throughout the rest of this year at least.
But Judy, are you saying if it's within the 24 months that somebody could use 3 months now and then get reemployed and then lose their job next summer and then get another, or is it only related to the actual COVID pandemic and the state
only
of
only related to COVID, only related to COVID.
And if they don't get their job back.
Yeah. Yeah, because we have a couple of the people that we have assisted with 1 month's rent from the fund and 1 month from the grant have gone back to work now. So they are getting income, but that's not for everyone. And it's each case is individual. And so Sharon and I look at each case and we ask a lot of questions and we try to figure out exactly where that veteran is. And we just basically want to have a little leeway to be able to help them more if they're struggling because of COVID. And that was our main reason for coming to you guys today with the policy change, was to be able to help as many veterans as we can to keep them from having mental health breakdowns over the fact that they're 3 months or 2 months behind and the landlord's putting pressure on them, and to have some flexibility because of the COVID, because nobody knows how long it's going to last.
Agreed.
So are we proposing right now to, or Judy, you're proposing 6 months, right?
Correct.
Okay. Does anybody else want to weigh in on that or have any questions or comments?
I guess the other thing I would say is that instead of saying 6 months within the next 24 months, I would say 6 months within the time frame of the state or federal emergency declaration.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that would be great. Yeah.
I agree with
you. Yep, that would be better.
I mean, unless that gets extended for 4 years.
Yes. Let's hope not.
We'll revisit in 6 to 8 months.
So what does everybody think about what Sam just said? I think, Sam, you just brought the two things together in what we've just been sitting here discussing, and I think that's reasonable. And I mean, I think it's something we should do. Again, we have no clue how much longer this is going to last or where this is going to go. I mean, hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully folks get back to work. But right now, I mean, we're just kind of stuck in a holding pattern. And I know there are days when I'm frustrated with it and sick of it. So I can only imagine somebody who's got this additional stress on their shoulders, you know, having to sit around and wonder if at the end of this or the moratorium, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to have a roof over my head? The bottom line is we're in this business to keep them housed and safe and off our streets. So, Sam, you want to read that one more time?
I sure did. Well, I'll add on. During a state or federal declaration of emergency, limitations on rental assistance due to accommodations made by governmental bodies to restrict evictions will not interfere with providing rental assistance to those veterans who otherwise would meet the criteria. And rental assistance during this time will be up to 6 months in rent arrears.
I think that hits a nail on the head, personally. So let's take a vote.
Can I just ask a quick question? Sorry, this is Tiffany again.
Sure.
So say up to 6 months in arrears. So like, for instance, right now, the people that have received 1 month from funds and 1 month from the grant, if in the next couple of months they're still not able to pay rent, is that something that they can come back to? So they could come back every month if they're still out of work, still haven't received their unemployment for some reason because we're working so hard on getting that fixed, et cetera, et cetera. Just like all the other things that are piling up against them, that they can continue to come back. Or are we making them, I haven't been able to pay my rent for 6 months and I'm asking for assistance for the past 6 months? Or both?
It wouldn't have to be all at once. I think that is what you're asking.
Right, right.
Yeah, like if we've helped them,
if we've helped them with 2 months already and they come back in 2 months, they still haven't been able to pay their rent, we could help them with two more, and then maybe they go back to work and don't need it, or maybe they do need another 2 months, but a total of 6 months within the COVID emergency. And again, Sharon and I look at each and every case individually to see where that veteran is, to make sure that they're not taking advantage. We make sure that they absolutely don't have income to be able to pay their rent. So it's actually done on an individual basis, and the whole reason to ask you today was to have some flexibility. We know that we are stewards of the public's money.
Good point.
And so just one more quick question. Sorry, this is Tiffany again. And if someone has used rental assistance within the past 24 months and now due to the pandemic needed rental assistance again, that would be something that we would be able to take a look at?
Yes, on an individual basis, if it's due to COVID.
Thumbs up.
All right, Tiffany's approved it, so we don't need any motions. Thanks for doing all of our work for us, Tiffany.
That's what I'm here for. Member Braun.
I like it. All right, so Judy, are you ready to, are we ready to move forward with this?
Yeah, it sounded good what Sam wrote.
Okay.
I agree with it totally.
All right, so do I have a motion to move forward with presenting that as a proposed change to the policy?
I motion it, Shannon.
Second?
Second.
All right. Let's just say anyone opposed. So that means we're all in favor. Okay. All right. That was a good discussion. I think it was a discussion that needed to be had, because this is new territory for everybody in the world. So it's good that we got it addressed, and hopefully we'll allow the center to impact more lives and take the stress off our veterans.
I'll move this forward to the county council as soon as possible, but it might take up to 2 weeks to get on their docket to get this heard and approved, which I'm sure it will be, and then we'll be able to go from there. And
so
it'll be approved before August 1st.
Okay. So meantime, we need to stop paying eviction prevention.
So until that gets approved, we need to stop. Is that correct?
That's our current policy. You have to follow until we change the policy.
Okay.
Samantha, one of the reasons I proposed that we break these things apart is my fear that we throw the baby out with the bathwater. So when we propose this, if we get pushback from the council, can we shift to just the first piece if they're against the 6 months, but they're okay with making the accommodation, or vice versa? Is there a way we can propose it such that they can approve either or both amendments?
I can write that up in the staff report, but I feel very confident that they would make that comment, that they would allow it as we proposed, and they can certainly discuss it and make any changes during their meeting. And I can let you all know when that meeting is scheduled so that you can listen in or provide comment.
Thank you.
Sam, I think this is Shannon. I think it's very important for if and when you do talk to them to let them know it's not a plethora of people. We have 10 so far, and they're looked at individually, scrutinized, so it's not like we're going to have hundreds of people coming for assistance.
Yeah, part of the staff report requires me to give a budget estimate, and so I will look back at the rent assistance that we provided over the last couple of months and project that forward of what that would look like if that number of people needed up to 6 months.
Okay, thank you.
Sam, I have the number of the 10 people that we've assisted. Those 10 people, it was $9,733.
Was that for 2 months apiece?
That was just one. That was 1 month for those 10 people, and that was over a four-month time frame. That was April, May, June, and July. And so it's only been 10 people that we've assisted that's due to COVID. The rest of the rental assistance has been security deposit, first month's rent, and so on.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so we kind of skipped around. Sam, either you were actually next, but they went. I'll let you guys fight over who wants to go next. You want to do contractor reports or the center? Just you guys want to just roll into what you were doing? Doesn't matter.
I think the center's done.
Okay. since the slide is up for the reports, I just briefly put some bullet points about each report that we received for May, and you got the full report in your email. The 22 veterans, the services, the other thing that's nice about asking for an increase in assistance is that the services have been down. We've been saving money over the last couple of months as fewer people have been out and about and looking for help. So only 22 were served in May, and the total expenses for assistance was $9,782. That included 7 people who were helped with mortgage or rent assistance or move-in assistance. 3 households were helped with utilities. 13 households were helped with food. 2 veterans were assisted with burial, 1 with work-related assistance, 1 with other housing assistance, and 1 with textbooks. So 22 male veterans accessed the center, 2 female veterans. They had 185 visits for people picking up food. They were serving breakfast and lunch, lunch bags and essential items. And they had 811 calls, which includes, where am I? That includes 563 calls to the center for the fund, 127 calls. Oh, I'm sorry, 563 calls to the Center for Resources, and then 127 calls are inquiring about the fund, and then 111 calls to service officers. So they still had 200 volunteer hours for a value of $4,938. Is that just the one volunteer you have every day, Judy, that poor person?
Yes.
The free clinic is... has slowed down on the number of people that they see, and so they are referring people to the Medical Teams International, and they are reaching out to veterans who need any kind of dental care to get them hooked up with the medical teams. But so they didn't charge us anything for May. And then the final our property taxes came in April, and there was some also in May. So at the end of May, our fund balance was $788,897, which is very similar to what we received last year as the April deposit. Does anybody have any questions on any of that? I tried to run through really quick since it's 3:05. Thank you.
No, I just wanted to give an update on the volunteer hours. It's not just one person. A lot of us, well, not a lot of us, but the handful that are here, we have been delivering food boxes and stuff to the people who can't get out, running errands, stuff for people who just can't get out due to COVID or what have you. They don't have the ability to drive or ride a bus, or they're afraid to leave their homes, whatnot. So there's a few of us that are running around and doing that kind of stuff as volunteers. So that's a part of it.
Nice.
I forgot about that.
Okay. Moving right along. Old business. I know we were having lots of discussions before about buildings and such, and I think we'll wait to pick up those discussions later in light of everything that's going on. So we're just trying to take care of veterans right now, and all of us with our mental health and self-care are just trying to get by day by day to get through this thing. So does anybody have anything related to old business? New business?
Nope. Judy, I guess down that you might want to talk a little bit about the stand down or how that's shaping up, or Sharon, would that be under new business?
Okay. So I'm going to let Sharon address that because she has more to do with the stand down than I do. Let me just say that if and when we decide on a date, I still have we might look at October. I would still have 3 months to apply for the federal grant. I have all the paperwork together except for the actual details and the budget. So I'm going to let Sharon address this.
Okay. Well, as far as stand down goes, we have been slowly amassing DOD supplies throughout the year. And they have been very patient with us not having a location or a date yet to do it, because normally they require that information. But they have been letting us order and get the DOD supplies. We were hoping to get the Clark College parking lot, but they're not going to be making that decision until after the end of August, and that does not give us any time to plan for it, especially if we were going to hold it sometime at the end of September, the beginning of October. We're now looking toward the mid to end of October, and if we have to, we're going to do it right here out of the center, unless we can find a location to do like a drive-through or a drive-up.
I have a suggestion where you might go.
Okay.
I walk by it every day, actually. It's on the Mill Plain, right across from Clark College campus, up towards the Fisher Landing end. There's a big, huge new building there with no one in it, and the parking lot is massive.
And it's right next to Clark College?
It's across from Clark College.
Well, you're talking about the northeast end, Shannon?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's talking about CTC, Sharon, the campus over here.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Because we had other people suggest maybe like where Hudson's Bay is, but if they decide to have school back into session in the fall, we would not be able to use those areas. So if the CTC is willing to let us use it, that would be great. We're going to stay possible.
No,
because a lot of our students will have to walk.
It's not the actual Clark College parking lot. It's a building across the street that's been built and brand new, and no one is in it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what Sharon is saying, that's on the northeast side of town, because that's by the Clark College, the technical center, right?
By Walmart.
It's way out there towards 192nd. And
right.
We're trying to stay as close to the VA as possible because a lot of our folks will be walking.
Yeah.
That's some issues and problems that we've ran into. Like I said, we are going to apply for the Department of Labor grant, but we're going to be using the address of the center to at least get it started, and hopefully we can find a different location. Close enough to here. We've thought about maybe the Marshall Center parking lot or something like that, where we can have a food truck show up and feed them out of a food truck, other than us making sandwiches, because we're not going to be able to do food like we have in the past. It's just not going to happen. So we're trying everything that we can come up with, different ideas. We're reaching out to other people that are doing stand downs to see how they're doing it, trying to get some ideas from them. And a lot of, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but a lot of the stand downs have canceled this year. We do not want to do that.
Yeah.
We would like to be able to have our stand down.
How about working with the city to take one of the new parking lots over by the waterfront?
I've reached out to the mayor. I have reached out to the mayor to ask her if if there's any city parking lot that she might like to offer us, but so far I haven't gotten any reply.
The county, or at least Clark County Public Health, can reserve Luke Jensen Sports Park. I know it doesn't meet the criteria of being downtown, but they do have like one way in and a roundabout and another way out that might create a pretty good flow through that parking lot. Mm-hmm. And on the bus line.
That would definitely be an option, as long as it was on the bus line. Yeah. And we can maintain the social distancing and the whole mask thing.
Yeah, let me know if you want to look more information on that, Sharon, because I can reserve it as well.
I would love to get some information on that so I can present it to the stand down committee. That would be fantastic. Thank you.
How far is that?
Luke Jensen is out there on 78, kind of in between the 48 and Carroll's. There's some sports, Kingsway Christian.
Okay.
Between St. John's, you know, where St. John's and it's a big sports park.
Okay. So that's definitely on the bus line.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's get information about that if we can, Sam, because that would be a great place.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the suggestion, Jim.
Yes, thank you, Jim.
Yes.
Yeah, glad to help.
So, you know, those are the things that we've been working on. I did send out a letter to Sam to send out to the board regarding stand down. And if y'all had any ideas that we could use, trying to put something together. So if anybody can come up with any, you know, helpful, useful ideas, anything would be appreciated.
I was just also going to say that at one point Clark College was going to give up like the back parking lot over there to the VA to use as parking at one point, because nobody parks in that lot over there. So Dave had to leave the meeting. So, you know, that might be another option as well.
I reached out to Dave early on, and he's the one that told me that Clark College isn't making any decisions about anything until after August 31st. And again, that just doesn't give me enough time to plan and get things set up. So I don't know if that parking lot was part of that, waiting until after August 31st or not. Your microphone is off.
Oh, sorry. There we go. I clicked too many times. But you can see my head moving.
Yeah.
All right. Does anybody else have anything in an open forum that we need to discuss, or old business, new business, open forum? Come on. Take your pick.
Okay. Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Bruce. Yeah, my video's down. I just want to let everybody know that back on March the 6th, the VA took ownership of the Vancouver Post Cemetery, and it is now renamed the Port Vancouver National Cemetery. So that was one thing that was done during the closure of the pandemic. Also, the recruiting offices here in Vancouver have relocated from Vancouver Village out by on just to the west of the mall for 35 years, and now they are actually on the west side of the mall, upper level. Those folks moved in April as well. So we've had some changes that have gone on in our community while we've had this downtime during the pandemic.
Thanks for that info, Bruce.
Yes.
I might have wanted to go to the recruiting station soon. Not.
Not.
Anything else for the good of the group or our veterans or anything else? If not, then get a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Response seconds it.
All right. I'm sure all those are in favor, right? If you're not, go ahead and say something.
Aye.
All right. We are adjourned until our next meeting, which I'm sure Sam will have great details about.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody. Good work today.
Take care.
Hey, thank you. Sorry, I disappeared so fast.
Really do. It's a benefit. which helps everybody else in this world can do. Should do.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Greg. Good job.
Sorry about the technical difficulties, Greg.
Yeah, same back here on mine. My pocket camera kind of quit with the video capture card, so I had to go silent.
thanks for what you do.
See you guys soon.
All right, thank you.
Bye.